Hello everyone and welcome back to what is episode 7 of Let's Get Talking, flying through series 1, but still have some great conversations coming your way. Nick Gazzard from the Holly Gazzard Trust joined me a few weeks back now to discuss the tragic loss of his daughter Holly and how his family pulled together and set up the trust following her death in 2014. Nick is a really, really lovely bloke and he talks openly about the tragic events over 7 years ago now and delves into the work of the trust, which is truly fantastic, and being from Gloucester myself makes me really proud. As you may have also seen, to kick off the UK's Mental Health Awareness Week, I will be doing an 8-hour Instagram live to raise awareness and hopefully get some donations to support the Holly Gazzard Trust to continue their work and give them a much needed boost after the pandemic and the lockdowns that have happened. I really hope you enjoy this episode. I'm really proud of it, and like I've said, Nick's a really, really lovely man and inspirational, what his family have done following the tragic events that happened. So sit back, relax, and let's get talking with Nick Gazzard. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Let's Get Talking. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, someone from my local area of Gloucester who does fantastic work in the community and beyond. I followed this ongoing story and I have to say, being from Gloucester, it does make me very proud. I'm very honoured to be joined today on the podcast by Nick Gazzard. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Brilliant. Thanks for taking time and joining me today. A lot of people listening to this, I suppose, from the Gloucester area and around the Gloucester area will know of you and know of, obviously, of course, of Holly and the trust that's followed. But can we start with just letting everyone know a little bit about you and your background? I think I'm right in saying that you grew up in Bristol, and I know obviously you played football for some local teams around the Gloucestershire area.
Yes, absolutely right. I grew up in Bristol for the first 18 years of my life. And now I was the type of lad that would never sit still. I was sports mad. I played cricket, football, whatever sport it was, I had a go at it. But as I say, cricket and football were my two main sports. I played cricket for the county schools, and football for the county as well. And when I was 14, I played for club in the Western League, that's, you know, the Southwest. I was attached to Bristol Rovers, and then when I was 18, I was attached to Bristol City, and then I came to St Paul's and St Mary's in Cheltenham because I wanted to further my career, my education. You know, that stays. It was a factor of I wanted to be a teacher, so I took up geography and geology science. And whilst I was at St Paul's and St Mary's, I was contracted to Cheltenham Town to play football. So, you know, that was a little bit of a potted history about, you know, my background. And I've been in the Gloucester area ever since.
Brilliant. I think when I was looking into sort of your background personally, I always thought you were from Gloucester. So it was interesting to learn that you grew up in Bristol. That's something that I didn't know. So there we go. I've learned something new. As you know, and as we've discussed, the podcast is all about hearing inspiring and powerful stories and the importance of talking about our mental health and the experience that we face. I think what you and your family have done in the recent years is truly inspiring. And that's why I asked you if you would like to come on the podcast. I'm honored that you've taken your time to do so. Before we discuss the trust and obviously the work that it does to support and educate young people and all the different organizations that you work with, it would be great if you could let the listeners know all about Holly and why you wanted her legacy to live on in the work that you all do now.
Yeah, I think, you know, first thing to say was, you know, I've been very lucky in growing up, you know, in terms of having a very supportive family who supported me football-wise, took me everywhere. Then when I went to college here in Cheltenham, again, they supported me. Met a lovely wife when I was working for Ensley Insurance in the financial services sector. That was after my footballing days were finished through injury for Cheltenham. And I had two lovely girls, and, you know, life for me was fantastic. You know, the girls were growing up. You know, Holly was very sporty. Again, like me, she tried all the sports under the sun. Chloe, not so sporty. And it wasn't until, you know, 2014 that everything came crashing down. And it's very difficult to explain when, when something like that happens to you, you know, suddenly you're stopped in your tracks, you know, your youngest daughter is murdered, and you have that knock on the door from the police to tell you that, and you have to go to the hospital, it takes your life in a different direction. And to all of our lives in a different direction, not just Holly's, and as a family, and things were never the same again. And when Holly was murdered, she was I would call a socialite. She loved life and she loved people and she loved talking to people. And that's why she did hairdressing and beauty, because she just had the gift of the gab. A very social person, had a big social network of friends, very active on social media. And, you know, when she was murdered, you know, I thought, well, what a waste. You know, I can't let this go, and I can't let other families, dads, mums, sisters go through what we are still going through on a daily basis, because we know how horrendous it is. And can I do something to change that? You know, I can't affect what's happened to Holly. You know, unfortunately she's gone, and her life has now ended. But actually, can I use the tragedy and those events which happened back in February 2014 to some good? You know, can I turn that negative into a positive? And at that stage, I thought, well, why don't I start a charity to help other young people in the field of hairdressing, which Holly was, because I know how difficult it was to get in, and finances and et cetera. But also, can I help protect other young people and parents going through what we go through? So that was the reason why I set up the charity. And it was all about trying to turn that negative into a positive and try and use that as a springboard to help other people. It wasn't really to keep Holly's legacy alive, you know, that was a consequence of it, but it was actually to try and help other young people and stop people going through what she went through and were going through. So that was the basis upon which I set the trust up, along with my wife Mandy and Holly's sister Chloe. It was really trying to help people, other people. So, you know, I thought, well, if we can help one or two people a year, if we can get another person through Gloucester College with hairdressing, in, you know, wouldn't that be fantastic? And that's a little bit of a legacy for Holly, but that's not what we're looking for. But I didn't know how big it was going to grow. I didn't know how much impact it was going to have, not just in Gloucestershire, but nationwide, in fact worldwide, you know. And we'll talk a little bit hopefully later on about HollyGuard, our app, you know. And we're getting messages now from Australia, America, Japan, Sweden, Israel, all over the world, we're getting these messages. And in fact, we've got another charity in South Africa that want to talk to us. I don't know whether you remember Reva Steenkamp.
Oh, yeah.
Oscar Pistorius and that situation. Well, the Reva Steenkamp Foundation has been in touch with us, and, you know, they want to have a chat with us about the HollyGuard app for rolling it out, similar app in South Africa. So it's reaching worldwide now, and it's growing and growing and growing. And now we employ four staff. So, you know, it's gone way beyond what I thought this was going to be back in 2014. But the really encouraging thing for me is that the amount of feedback that we get, and we can't really publicize this because of the very nature of what we do, but the amount of feedback we get from people saying, it saved my life, you've helped me, I feel much better now, I feel much safer now. What Holly's been through has really made me sit up and think, and it's changed my life. You know, all those comments that we get back really makes it all worthwhile in terms of what we've done, you know. And as we continue to get those comments, we will carry on rolling the trust out across the country and helping as many, many people as we can.
Sounds fantastic. And obviously, looking back on the last sort of 6 to 7 years, you said there that you never thought of sort of the growth that the trust and the charity will have. Did it grow quite quickly shortly after Holly's passing, or did it, was it a gradual sort of or growth over the years?
You know, I'm first to say that the support that we had from the Gloucestershire community when Holly was killed was enormous. And they jumped on this straight away and helped support us. So, you know, our first Walk for Holly, I think we had 400 people attend. You know, it's a lot less now, but we're trying to get that up again. And then the amount of money raised at that walk was about £20,000. So, you know, straight away, people really started to support us. We then had a little bit of a dip for the next couple of years. And now it's starting to come back up again because of the work that we're doing and the way we're publicising it. So earlier on, we got great support. It then dipped. And now we're on that upward curve again.
That sounds brilliant. And I know sort of firsthand from following the story, how much the trust has grown. And obviously just recently with the anniversary of Holly's passing, obviously due to the restrictions that are in place, you had to do the normal sort of memorial thing live on Facebook. And I was watching it with some family and we lit a candle and seeing the amount of people that tuned in and the comments that were coming in, it was, I suppose that was lovely for you to see, even though everyone couldn't be there in person.
Oh, absolutely. You know, prior to this year, we've always held a little bit of a ceremony, is the wrong word, but a little bit of a gathering at Holly's Bench, which is at the bottom of Southgate Street. And we remembered Holly and we laid flowers. And we usually get about 80 to 100 people there. This year, because of the COVID restrictions, we couldn't do that. We think it was irresponsible for us to do that. But we still wanted people to join us in helping to remember Holly and celebrate their life. So we decided to do that Facebook Live. And, you know, to my surprise, it took off. You know, I think there was at one stage 600 to 700 people watching it live. And I think we've had 50 to 80,000 people now that viewed it. But seeing those comments coming through, as you mentioned, was great. You know, one of them I saw coming through was, "Hello from Germany." So, you know, we are reaching, even through that Facebook Live, we're reaching far and wide, and our support is getting further and further afield. You know, I've seen some from Blackpool and from Scotland, you know. So, ironically, because we couldn't hold a physical get-together, the online get-together was actually much better because it allowed more people to attend from further afield and be involved. And you probably saw the candles that people lit, and we had over 100 people sent photos in of their candles, you know, and that wasn't just 100 people. There would have been 2, 3, maybe 4 people that were in that family that were watching it. So hopefully we've again reached a lot of people. And we were really grateful for those that joined us on that evening. It really inspired Mandy and I when we did the Facebook Live.
Yeah, and it shows the positive and the positive side of social media, I suppose, and the power that it can have in terms of reaching as far and wide, as you said there, Germany, with that Facebook Live. And I know you've personally delivered different speeches and different talks to different organisations and groups of young people in the recent years with the work with the Trust. And a lot of young people, as you know, I work at a secondary school in Gloucester, and a lot of young people do tune into the podcast. Some of them, I think, just to hear one of their teachers talking on their Spotify or Apple is quite exciting. But a lot of them getting feedback about that it's actually helping them with a lot of different issues that they might be going through. If there are any young people out there, or just anybody really, that is potentially struggling in a relationship or struggling with a particular issue, how can the Holly Gazzard Trust help them out in terms of what support is there that they can access? I know obviously you do a lot of work with local organisations and of course, like you mentioned, the Holly Guard app as well.
Yeah, there's a number of things here really. First thing I would probably point out is that, you know, I like to talk to people. I'm a bit like Holly really. I'm social and I love talking to people. And I love talking about Holly. You know, it's one of my favourite things. You know, to talk about her, I find really probably part of my grief, dealing with my grief, but I just love talking about her. So I do a lot of talks in schools. I do a lot of workshops in schools around healthy relationships, coercive control, stalking. And there are certain schools that I go back year after year and talk to a different set of students. For me, I'd like to talk to more schools, because at the moment I've probably talked to about half a dozen schools on a regular basis, but there are hundreds of schools in Gloucestershire alone, and I'd love to talk to all of those schools. So, you know, it doesn't cost them a penny. I will come in and I will deliver the sessions, and you know, as long as they're there to support their students, then we will help them as well. So if any school wants to get in touch with me, then they can do so. I'd be more than happy to come in. whether that's talking an assembly or doing a PSHE lesson around stalking or healthy relationship, then I can do that, not a problem at all. But also, if you go to, or if any young person here that has an issue regarding their relationship, or that they want to know more about perhaps a friend's relationship that they're seeing might not be going the right direction, you can go to our website, and in there, there's a document called Family and Friends document. And it's about a 30-page document. You can read it online or you can download it. And what it does is it actually tells you how you can look out for your friends and your family, how you can identify if they're going through something, what are the signs, what are the symptoms, what are the little nuances that you can pick up on, and what you can do about it. Also, if you're going through a relationship issue, it can make suggestions to you then what you can do about it. So there are lots of information and guidance notes there that young people, or people of all ages actually, can pick up on. The other thing I would always say is that if you think you are going through a relationship which is unhealthy, or you're not quite happy that someone's treating you in the right way, talk to someone, because that's the best thing that you can do. Don't hold on to it. It's never your fault. But actually, by talking to someone, it may ease the situation for you. Or if you want to refer yourself to one of the GDASs or the national helplines, you know, in Gloucestershire we have GDAS, Gloucestershire Domestic Abuse Support Service, you can talk to them. You can talk to them anonymously. You can talk to them, give them your name. You can talk to them about their young person's coordinator there, but they can give you the expert advice as to what to do depending on your own relationship. So I would say, you know, have a look online at our information first and foremost. But if you want to get more advice, then talk to one of the specialists like GDAS, because I think that's really important.
Definitely. And I think that's a powerful message, obviously coming from someone that's been affected so deeply by the issues that you're speaking about. And one of my future sort of questions for later on was going to be how important it is for people that are going through that situation to reach out and talk. Obviously you've covered it there, but it is so powerful to people just to find someone that you can trust, whether that's a parent or a friend or someone at their school or workplace, to talk and reach out. And then obviously that brings us on to, like you mentioned earlier, something that I think is growing quite quickly, and like you said, reaching other countries worldwide as well, in terms of the HollyGuard app. Some people might know about it, some people might not. So can you give us just an idea of what the HollyGuard app is and how people obviously can access and use it if they need to?
Yeah, absolutely. HollyGuard is an app, and like any app, you can download it to a smartphone and go to your relevant store, whether that's iPhone or Android, and search for HollyGuard and you can download it. It takes a minute to download. The beauty about this app is that it's free. It's free to use and it's free to download, so it won't cost you a penny. And that's the basic app. It's a situation where it's a personal safety app. So you can use it in a number of different ways, because it has a lot of different functionality in the app. But the premise is it works on the fact that if you were in a situation where you wanted to let someone know you were in trouble, and let's take an example, you know, you could be riding your bike and you could have a gang of people come up on you saying, can I have your bike? You know, or you can be in a situation where you're outside and someone is stalking you. You know, if you wanted to let someone know, the premise of the app works on the fact that, you know, when you set the app up on your phone, you set in there emergency contacts. That can be a friend, it can be a parent, a guardian. And all it asks is for their name, their telephone number, and their email address. And if you do get into a situation where you're uncomfortable and you want that person to know that, all you do is shake your phone. By shaking your phone, it sends them a message to say that you're potentially in danger. But what HollyGuard does at the same time is it starts to record the voice and it starts to record video. So the person that you've nominated and gets the alert, they can click on the text message or the email, and they can see exactly what's happening because it streams it straight to their phone. And they can make the decision then as to what to do, whether that's to call the police, they might want to meet you, they might want to come and see you, they might want to telephone you. But it has a huge amount of functionality in the app over and above that, but that's the premise on which it works, in the sense of it's there for you to nominate and to alert individuals if you are potentially in danger. And we know that it has saved lives. You know, we've had a lot of feedback from individuals to say, it saved my life, and this is the reason. And I'll give you a quick example of how it saved someone's life. There's a man down, there's a feature called man down in there. And basically what that means is that whilst the phone is moving, the phone is happy. Once it stops for a period of time and you set the time, once that time is up, it automatically sends the alert to your emergency contact. And people use this when they're out jogging a lot. So as you can imagine, you've got your phone on you, you're jogging on your own, and you want a bit of security in terms of safety. Well, this one lady, she was using it. She had the app on. She was jogging along, and she suddenly fell, tripped, and she hit her head. As a result of hitting her head, she couldn't really move because she was so dazed. Because the phone was inactive, after 5 minutes, because that's the time she set, it automatically sent the alert to her emergency contact, which was her husband. Now, because it actually records voice and video, she could see what he said. Sorry, he could see what's happening. He could see she was in danger. Because it gives them a map and all the coordinates of where she was, he automatically phoned the ambulance, who got to her. And what the ambulance said was, she was just about to go into a diabetic coma because she was a diabetic. And had they not got to her within 5 minutes, she would have died. So there's a great example of how it can be used in a way to help support someone and save their life. You know, and there's many functions of the app that can work in similar ways. You know, people use it because they might have some mental illness issues. You know, one lady says, I use it when I'm out shopping because quite often I forget where I am because I've got a condition. So all I do is I shake my phone, goes to my husband. He knows where I am because he can see, and he comes and gets me. So, you know, it's a real lifesaver for people. And, you know, we've got 160,000 people now using it, which is great. It's a real testament for us to Holly, really. You know, and we're talking to, you know, the government, we're talking to various commissioners, a domestic abuse commissioner, we're talking to police forces, you know, what, 16 police forces use it at the moment. So it's getting out there, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's one of those things that we're really proud of as a trust, that actually this can help anyone because it's free to use.
It's definitely something to be proud of, just listening to you sharing the real life examples of, for example, how it saved that lady's life. And I knew about the app, and I knew sort of the way it worked in terms of shaking it, which would then alert your emergency contact. But I wasn't aware of the fact that it would stream the sort of the audio and the video as well. So that's quite a remarkable function to have. And I suppose just on that, in the process of setting up an app like that, what was that process like? Is it, I mean, there might be people out there that, well, I certainly don't know how you would go about setting up an app. Was that a sort of a long process to get it to where it is now?
In a word, no, because it was a very fortunate occurrence. You know, my other daughter, Chloe, she was in a health spa with her now husband, and they met another couple there, and Chloe was wearing one of Holly's wristbands, and the guy said, well, what's that wristband for? And when she explained, he said, perhaps I can help you. I'm the chief executive of Panic Guard in London, and we do a range of apps and a range of security measures, which perhaps we can help the trust. And that's how it was all born. You know, they had a similar app. They then changed it, they rebranded it, and we developed it, you know. So it was born out of just that one chance meeting with my other daughter, and that's how things happen sometimes. You know, it's those chances in life that come by. Perhaps it was divine intervention from Holly, yeah, on that particular day, but whatever happened, it was a great chance meeting.
Definitely. And like you said previously, obviously, ever since Holly's passing, is obviously something that yourself and the rest of your family and Holly's friends live with every day. If you're looking back at the last 6 to 7 years and how the trust has grown, and obviously the Holly Guard app, and now you're reaching different countries, if you had to pick out a real sort of positive highlight that the trust has done, or the app has done, what would you think that would be?
I would say we know that it and we have saved lives because of the feedback that we get. And to me, there's nothing more important than that. If you can save someone's life, whether that's, you know, going into a river and pulling someone out because they're potentially drowning, or using an app that can help them save their life, or delivering a training session that actually that bit of information that you part on that day, that's been used to save their life. You know, to me, that's the biggest thing. It makes me sleep at night, and that satisfaction that we know from the feedback that we have had, that we have saved lives. And to me, there's nothing more important than that, because having lost a daughter, there's nothing more important than actually saving someone else's life. So, you know, that's for me, that's the pinnacle.
Definitely, and really inspirational. If there are people listening and out there, like you've mentioned about the work that you can do with schools, or how people can get involved in supporting the trust, whether that's through donations or whatever it might be, is that all information that can be found on your website and getting in touch to access that sort of support?
Absolutely. If you go to www.hollygazard.org, that's our main website, and you can get to the Hollygard website from there as well. Hollygard does have its own website, hollygard.com, but the main website is where, if you want to fundraise for us, or if you want to join us and be a volunteer, then that's where you can go. Because, you know, like many charities, we've suffered over the last 12 months with income, because we haven't been able to have our fundraising events. So our income, you know, has been impacted by that. So, you know, so I was just saying to someone today, you know, he mentioned that he wanted to do a fundraiser for us. He said, it won't raise much money. And I said, it doesn't matter how much it raises, you know, every penny counts. If I were to tell you, whilst Hollygard is free to use, we pay for it as a trust, and each text message that is sent cost us money. So even if you raised 10 pence, that will enable us to fund 5 text messages. So, you know, I always say every penny counts, you know, and if you can do anything for us, then please do so. Go to the website, www.hollygazard.org, and it's all on there.
Fantastic. And I know we spoke previously before the conversation about little things that we were going to touch on, but this is something that we haven't spoke about. And myself, and obviously I just run this podcast as a sort of a hobby and a way to support other young people and just to share inspiring stories. And I'm planning in the coming weeks to do a marathon Instagram live where I'm going to have different guests on and just talk about everything and anything for about a 10-hour period. And I don't think there's going to be a better trust being from Gloucester to support. So if that's okay with you, then that is going to be my sort of how we're going to fundraise that there. So I'm going to...
That'll be magic. And, you know, I will be one of your guests if you would have me on that, Tom, as well.
Because definitely.
There's so much more that we can talk about. And, you know, if you're going to raise money for us, I'm really, really grateful. And hopefully your students will support that as well.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And hopefully, I think I've seen some other people do it before, and it's about a 10-hour Instagram live. So it's a challenge, but I'm sure it'd be a good experience. And moving on to a feature of the podcast, that I have different guests from sort of every walk of life, really, so far on the show. And one of the features that we have is called Trip of the Week. Now, this is sending out the message to everyone that's listening that no matter who you are or what you do, sometimes things just don't go to plan. I spoke to someone a few weeks ago at the time of recording, and their Trip of the Week was that they had put some salmon in the oven and burnt it. So it's literally anything you can think of, but it carries the message that it's all right if things go wrong. So looking back on your last week or so, Nick, what would you say your Trip of the Week is?
To be truthful, I think I would like to sort of tell you a little bit about this one. You mentioned earlier on that we did a Facebook Live for Holly's memorial, you know, and I'm not a social media expert or a Facebook expert, and I was a bit worried about, you know, am I going to press the right buttons? Am I going to do the right things? And, you know, Mandy was by the side of me, and the dog was downstairs. Is he going to bark or is he not? You know, we set it all up, we got it all ready, pressed the buttons, and I had everything in my head what I wanted to say. I got to the end and I asked Mandy if she wanted to say something. She said yes, she said it, and then I said goodbye. And there were certain things that I really wanted to say that I just completely forgot. I thought, well, why didn't I remember to say that? I kicked myself now to say, oh, you didn't say that, you didn't say that, you didn't say that. And the other flip side of that is, I tell other people this, I know I didn't say it, but other people didn't know I didn't say it. So you can relax. Yeah. You know, don't worry about it. You know, boss, you might have made a mistake yourself. I know from talking to other people, they didn't see it because they didn't know that I wanted to say it anyway. So I said, look, just give yourself a break, because yes, it didn't go 100% according to your plan, but actually the way it came across and was received by everyone else was fine. So give yourself a break. So that's my one. Yeah. Sometimes you beat yourself up too much.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I can certainly relate to that. I mean, when I started the podcast, and I it was completely a new process to me. And I would have the first episode that I ever did was just me talking. I had all these notes about what I wanted to say. And then I did that, and then I edited it. And there was a few things that I just couldn't fix on the editing, you know, some little background noises and things like that. And anyone could ask my girlfriend. I was like, right, oh, everyone's going to hear that little bit or hear that bit. And then when it went out, no one actually mentioned anything about that. So yeah, it's a great message. I suppose we do beat ourselves up a little bit sometimes, but just relax. And you know that if something is well received, then I suppose that's the main thing. And if you're helping people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing I would say is that don't strive for perfection. Yeah, just make sure that you do the best you can. And sometimes it might not be perfection, but it doesn't matter. Mm. It doesn't matter.
That's a powerful, powerful message, especially to all those young people out there as well that might be, you know, coming towards the end of their school life or have got assessments or whatever it might be coming up. Yeah, just do the best you can, and nothing is ever going to be perfect. And another little question that I do ask my guests is, if you were looking back, and again, this can be absolutely anything, but if you were looking back on your life so far and you wanted to send a message back to your past self, whether that's when you were growing up in Bristol or whatever it may be, what do you think that message would be?
I think this is one that I've learnt over a period of time, particularly in the last 7 years, in the sense of focus on things which you can affect, and don't worry about those that you can't. You know, and I say this to my other daughter, is that, you know, things are happening around you, and more often than not, you cannot influence what's happening around you. So don't worry about it. Worry about what you can influence and get that right. So for me, if I learned in the past, you know, forget those areas that you can't influence. Don't lose sleep over it. You know, don't go to bed and think, well, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do that? It doesn't matter, because you can't influence it. Actually, concentrate on those areas that you can influence, and you'll get a much, much better result. So I've learned that over the last 7 years, particularly since Holly's passing. And that's what I always keep in my brain now. Be positive. Don't worry about what's happened, because you can't affect it. Don't worry about what you can't affect. Worry about what you can affect going forward, and use that as your positive mental sort of stimulation as you go through life.
No, I definitely agree. And I think there's no better way there to sort of wrap things up with that sort of powerful and motivational message. Nick, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. It's been wonderful to obviously virtually sit down with you and chat with you, maybe in a few months and the months that lie ahead when the restrictions end, we can have another chat, and it might be in person, hopefully. But yeah, I wish you and all the family the best, and I'm sure the trust will continue to go from strength to strength. I certainly know that the people of Gloucester and beyond are certainly proud of the work that you do and that you produce, and I'm sure Holly will be certainly proud of you as well. So a big thank you for joining me, and we will be in touch about the Instagram live, I'm sure.
Lovely. It's great to talk to you, Tom, as well, and it's great to be on your podcast, and hopefully, you know, all the young people that are listening to this will take away some of those messages. And if they want to get in touch, please do so. You can do it through our social media. You can do it through our website. If you've got an issue, then we're happy to help wherever we can. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put the link to your websites and the app and all your social media pages. So if people need support or they want to learn a little bit more about Holly or the trust, then they can do that. But yeah, big thank you. Just take care, and hope everything goes well for you.
Lovely. Thanks, Tom.
So there you are, episode 7. I really hope you enjoyed that conversation, and a big thanks to Nick for joining me on the show. As mentioned, I'll be supporting the Holly Gazzard Trust throughout the 8-hour Instagram on the 9th of May. And please visit their website or social media if you can support the trust in any way at all. I know it would be really, really appreciated. So, 3 episodes left now of Series 1, and a big thanks for all of the support, as always. You lot are incredible. Let's keep the conversation of mental health moving forward, normalise it, and make a change together. As always, keep following, keep sharing, and most importantly, keep talking. That was Episode 7. I'm Tom, and this is Let's Get Talking, and I'll see you next time.